Now, the sermon I have for tonight is basically, well, there you see it, from here to eternity. And as I look around, I'll probably be mostly preaching to the choir. But that's okay, because we need to be reminded all the time. Because according to Darlene, in Sunday school class this morning, she tells us that after 72 hours, you forget 95% of what you heard. Yikes. What did you say this morning? No, I'm kidding. No, not 72 hours yet. Okay. Well, see, I did remember that. Yeah. There you go. See, you don't have to preach one sermon, because after 72 hours, you'd forget what it was. But anyway, at any rate, from here to eternity, and Pastor Nathan this morning mentioned that we have choices. And basically, we have two. And so today I'm going to talk about two choices. And in 1 John chapter 5, verses 10 to 13, John writes this: whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because they have not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. That's an interesting last statement. He said, I write these things so that you may know. In other words, you can know that you have eternal life. Let us pray. Father, we just ask that as we look into your word tonight, that you would quicken it, that you would use it, that you would touch our hearts, you would touch our lives, that we would be challenged, that we would once again be reminded of some things that maybe we have forgotten or put aside. We just ask, Lord, that you would again quicken our hearts and our lives, that we may live more like you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Eternal. Eternal means having neither beginning or end of existence. Infinite in duration. Having no end. Everlasting. And in that sense, God is said to be eternal, without beginning and without end. Now, humans, on the other hand, are eternal in the sense of having no end. We do have a beginning, but once born, we are everlasting. Not in the sense of this present life, although some people think they're going to live forever. They're not. For this life is short in terms of time. I mean, we turn around twice and our kids were that high, now they're this high. I have grandsons that they were that high, now they're that high. They grow up fast. So this present life is full of pain, full of joy, and full of sorrow. And we are everlasting in that we have a life beyond this veil of tears. There is life after death, in other words. Even those who harbor hatred for Christians and biblical truth tend to believe in life after death. And I can prove it. I don't know how many of you have heard tell of Lauren Duca. Anybody? Okay. Maybe not. She's a columnist for Teen Vogue. And she didn't like Billy Graham's views or stand on the LGBT whatever style, lifestyle. And so when he passed away, she posted this quote on Twitter. The big news today is that Billy Graham was still alive this whole time. Anyway, have fun in hell. She wrote that on Twitter. A little while later, she softened it and said, well, I didn't mean to be quite so harsh if there is a hell. But I said, no, you answered the question the first time. You said what you really thought, and that's what you believe. And you believe and you know that there is a hell. So they know. Thomas Watson would write this. He would say, eternity to the godly is a day that has no sunset. Eternity to the wicked is a night that has no sunrise. Did you get that? Eternity to the godly is a day that has no sunset. Eternity to the wicked is a night that has no sunrise. So in defense of life after death, I want to look at some scriptures. And the first one was written 3,500 years ago in 1520 BC. Anybody remember that? No. Kitty. Alan. Alan does. Okay. Job made this statement. He said in Job 19, 25 to 26, he said, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. How about that? 3,500 years ago, Job would write that. If I can turn my pages, we'll be good. There we go. 2,000 years ago, Jesus was confronted by those who did not believe in a resurrection of the dead. And that's why they were called sad, you see. In this confrontation, Jesus made the following statement in Matthew 22, verse 32. He said, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Charles Colton would write this. He says, I know the resurrection is a fact, and Watergate proved it to me. How? Because 12 men testified they had seen Jesus raised from the dead, then they proclaimed that truth for 40 years, never once denying it. Everyone was beaten, tortured, stoned, and put in prison. They would not have endured that if it weren't true. Watergate embroiled 12 of the most powerful men in the world, and they couldn't keep alive for 3 weeks. You're telling me 12 apostles could keep alive for 40 years? Absolutely impossible. Thought that was a good statement. It's absolutely true. If that had been a lie, you think they would have lasted 40 years and were beaten and whipped and killed for it. They wouldn't have done it. In further defense of life after death for everyone, we must look at a story Jesus told concerning a certain rich man and a man named Lazarus. So we're going to have to read a few verses. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. Can you imagine that? Only Alan lives like that. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores, and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire. But Abraham replied, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been set in place so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us. He answered, then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment. Abraham replied, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. No, Father Abraham, he said, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. He said to them, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. Now this story, some would like you to believe that it's a parable. It's not. Because the characters involved were named. Jesus never named people in parables. He told of a certain rich man that everybody would know. He told about a poor man who he named Lazarus. And in this story, both men die. Both find themselves beyond the grave. Now Lazarus is found in paradise and is comforted by Abraham and the other believers. The rich man finds himself in Hades or hell in torment. But notice some things about that. And we're going to get into big detail because if we did, we'd be here a while. But both men in the afterlife retain these qualities. One of them is consciousness. The rich man, he looked over the abyss and was able to see Lazarus standing beside Abraham. So he was conscious. He was had his faculties. He could see. He had feeling. He could feel the torment. He was also able to converse with Abraham. Now, Abraham has been gone for a long, long time up to this point. But he was able to speak and convene with Abraham. He even knew who he was. So to see and converse with another person, one cannot be asleep. One cannot be dead in the sense of being dead totally. Like some would like us to believe that once you die, that's it. You're done. You're finished. There's no more. There's nothing left. And to be standing, Lazarus had to be awake because you can't stand up and sleep. If you do, you fall over. So they were conscious. They had feeling. He felt the torment of the flame and longed to have a cool drink of water. Lazarus, on the other hand, felt comfort and relief from all of his physical suffering. They also had memory. The rich man, realizing that it was too late for him, desired that Abraham send Lazarus back to warn his five brothers to avoid hell. He had memory, he had remorse, and he had regret. So therefore, we know that there is life after death. We are eternal. So while I was preparing this message, I realized that the Bible laid out two aspects of eternal life. And it's very clear in Scripture where we will spend eternity. First one is eternal punishment. In Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15, it writes, anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire, according to the Bible, is described as a place of torment. day and night, forever and ever. Doesn't end. No one is annihilated. We are still alive. It was designed for the devil and his angels, not for the humans created by God. It was never designed for us. In Revelation 20 and verse 10, this is what we read, and it says, "And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever." It's on and on. Ever. We tend to forget that. We've forgotten it, but we've put it aside. We've put it over there somewhere. It's in the back. And we deal with other things, and we don't realize sometimes as believers how soon for some it could be there, that we need to be on guard, that we need to be aware, that we just can't stick it off in the side and just say, oh yeah, well, that's, we don't want to talk about that place. But you know, sometimes you need to talk about that place. You need to tell some people that there is such a place. Time is short. And we need to be on fire for God in that sense. On the other side, there's eternal life. In 2 Corinthians, Paul writes, "We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord." Now, we say, well, wait a minute now. I don't think I'm there. I'm not ready to quite go home yet. But you got to remember what Paul has been through. He's been through a lot. And after he's been through it all, yeah, he would say, I am confident and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. But he said, but if the Lord would want me to stay to help you, then I will stay. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4, the writer says, "He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." Now, we come to the real crutch of this message. This is the choice of every person who will ever live. We can choose eternal torment, punishment. Remember that this punishment was not designed to be used on humans. It was designed to be the eternal place of punishment for Satan and his angels. But if we choose, we can go there. In 2 Peter 3, Peter writes this in verse 9, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." And as Pastor said this morning, we don't choose salvation. God calls us, but we do have free will. And our free will can decide, I don't want to choose that way. I don't want to go that way. But somewhere along the way, we need to tell them what that choice means. And if we have laid aside and stopped talking about the other side of that, we're not giving them a fair decision-making choice. We're not giving them all of the facts. You know, we say, you need to accept Jesus Christ and have eternal life, and you'll go to heaven, and you'll have joy and freedom and all that. And it's true. And they go, yeah, I don't know. But do we tell them, well, wait a minute now, if you don't choose that, here's your other choice. We have to make it aware of them. So we can make the choice to receive eternal life. In John 3:16, which we all know, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Did you notice that? That whosoever believes. So it's a choice. And yes, God calls us. Yes, he draws us by his Holy Spirit. He brings us to the hour, like Billy Graham used to have a magazine, the hour of decision. He brings us to that point. We must decide which way we're going to go. But if we don't have all the facts, can we make the right choice? Our text informs us that these are our choices. Having the Son gives eternal life. Not having the Son of God brings life without God and eternal punishment. Matthew 25:46 says this, then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. God sent his Son to die for our freedom. We are in sin. And the only way to bring freedom was for Jesus to pay the penalty for our sin. Life today is difficult. What once called good is now called bad. What once was called bad is now called good. Our world is volatile. I mean, you just read, you just look at the news. I don't even watch the news hardly anymore because all I do is end up screaming at the TV. That doesn't do any good, except Elaine says, you're going to have a heart attack. The cares of life have crowded out our joy and our peace. World problems, national problems, local problems, family problems, all seem to be insurmountable. But in Christ, we have the answer that we need. Help in this present life and eternal life in the next. To sort of illustrate that, Walter B. Knight had a story, short little story, at Journey's End, What Then? And this is what he wrote. Toward the close of World War II, a soldier who had spent more than 3 years in the South Pacific sat in a railway coach with a look of joyous anticipation on his face. The train was speeding toward Chicago. How fast are we traveling? Asked the soldier of the porter. This is a good section of track and we are making about 105 miles an hour, the porter answered. How far are we from Chicago? Asked the soldier. A little over 100 miles. We can't get there too quickly, said the soldier, as he took his duffel bag and bundles from the overhead rack. I'm going to be the first off this train. Why was he so eager to reach his destination? His father, mother, brothers, sisters, friends, and sweetheart were all waiting to welcome him. There was another serviceman on that same coach. His face looked like a blown-out lamp. He was a picture of gloom and dejection. He was in handcuffs and in charge of military policemen. He was not eager to reach his destination, for only judgment and punishment for crime awaited him there. There would be no friends or loved ones to greet him. He goes on to write, do you look forward with joy to your homecoming? Will you be received into everlasting habitations and be forever with the Lord and with loved ones in glory? Or do you look forward with fear to meeting the one whose love you spurned and whose mercy and forgiveness you rejected? Our eternal destination is determined by the answer we give to this question. What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called the Messiah? What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called the Messiah? So, will you choose Christ? Or will you reject Christ? And I think, like I said, I'm preaching mostly to the choir tonight, but it's good for us to be reminded of what those choices are about. Because we get caught up, let's face it, we get caught up in life. We get caught up in all the cares of this life, all the struggles that we have, and all the things that are going on around us. And sometimes we get bogged down and we forget that people need to make a choice. Yes, we need to tell them that there is a way that's better than what you're living right now. And we do that well. But some people need to know that there is another choice that they need to regard. And sometimes we forget about that choice and we don't tend to talk about it as much. Yeah, it's not popular to talk about it. Do you know that Jesus talked about it more than he did about heaven? Just the way it is. Scriptures do that because he knew where people were headed. It's not his will. His will is not that we go there. His will is that we spend life with him. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. So tonight, if you do not know him, you haven't made your choice for him, I would urge you to make that choice. Choose him. You're not here by accident. If you're unsaved, God has drawn you here for that very purpose. He's speaking to your heart tonight. He says, come. Come unto me. I will give you rest. And for the rest of us who know him, we just need to be reminded that we need to present the choice and help people come to the right choice, to come to Jesus Christ. Let's bow our hearts. Father, we just thank you tonight for your word. We thank you that you have made it plain, that you have made it clear for us, that it is your will that none should perish, but that all should come to everlasting life. And I pray that anyone within the sound of my voice tonight will make that choice and will come to you, and that you will reach down and that you will save them from the guttermost to the uttermost, that you will change their lives, and that you will give them joy and everlasting life. And for us who believe, may we be challenged once again to understand how late the hour is and that we must present the choice clearly. We must show them that there is a way that seems right, but it leads to destruction. But the road to God is one through Jesus Christ. Guide us and direct us. Lead us. Keep us. By your power, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.